The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a little bit of everything for you. Some trolling.
Sucks for you.
Yeah. No, not really. No, it doesn't.
Because
all
you're right.
All you have to do is go to podcastarena.com where you can get the full show podcast. A little talk on the football game, a little Astros talk, a little bit of everything. Callers are all over the place.
So today's the big day, Fred.
Yes.
The Astros are in the playoffs. I think, I keep looking back and forth at these teams, and I mean, the Astros are playing better right now, but baseball is so much harder to predict than football. You know, like football, there's so much you can break down, and there's so.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions about, is there any value on betting the game? I'm not touching, I don't bet baseball at all, and I'm not starting now. What I might do is look at, also win the World Series, but because I do think there's some value in more so on the NL side with both the Cubs and the Pirates.
Yeah.
But no, as far as just making a wager on tonight's game, I'm not going to do it. I do think, and I say there's value. The Cubs are 12-1 and the Pirates are 12-1. It's basically where they have, The latest ones I'm looking at, you have Jays are 3-1 favorite, Royals 5-1, Cardinals 5-1, which I think there might be a little value there. Dodgers 6-1, Mets 6-1. You have the Mets. Cubs 12, Pirates 12, Rangers 12, Yankees 14, Astros, the longest shot on the board at 16-1.
See, the Rangers might actually have some value at 12-1 because when you look at all the other teams that are in that 12-16, they're all teams that are playing a one-game play-in.
Right,
the
right.
Rangers have a full series,
yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the one that I would look at simply because for that very reason. Now, I think they also have the toughest road having to play the Blue Jays, but it's a short series, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And we see it every year. You win the wild card game even. You've got a chance. All you got to do is get hot at the right time.
But those teams, once they win their game today, the numbers will drop on most of those teams.
Yeah,
you're
going to have to do it
because I've said this all year long. I probably like the Pirates. I think the Pirates might be the best team in baseball, and they could be gone in one game. And so if they don't get to a playoff series, that's the cool thing and the kind of bummer thing about this new wild card setup. It brings more teams in, but man, it sucks to see a team like the Pirates have to play one game for their whole playoff lives when they're better than every other team in the playoffs, not named the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. It happens, though.
It does, and that'll be the way it goes.
And next year, it may be the American League teams that are that. You never know. I mean, it's the Giants had to do it last year, went on and won the World Series. So,
but the Giants didn't have the second best record in baseball.
No, but they one of the best playoff teams every year when they get in.
They are,
and that pitching staff went nuts. So,
well, Kansas City was a wild card team too. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's difficult. It's difficult to handicap a team's chance to win the whole thing when first they have to win a single game, like an all or nothing game.
Yeah, yeah. And in this case, especially we got two pitchers like the one going in the Cubs-Pirates series. I mean, that one makes it harder.
Yeah.
Because I think if you really believe in Dallas Keuchel, you say, all right, Astros at 16-1 makes some sense because then they're going to get a Royals team that – yeah, I mean, the Royals are better than they are, but
the Royals also won 5 straight to end the season. They're playing pretty well.
They are, but, you know, it's you kind of look at how that series sets up. I assume, well, I hope, well, let's just say the Astros win. You probably get, obviously, McHugh starts. It's, you know, they always score 26 runs for him.
Yeah.
So you got a shot in that one. Then it's, I'm guessing, Fires over Kazmir, assuming you don't have to use him for some reason.
So.
Yeah, I don't.
And if you're going to start Kazmir, you better make sure it's in Houston.
Yeah. Well, even then, he's been bad here, too.
He has, but not nearly as bad.
But then you'd have Keuchel for game three here.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, the series would actually set up pretty well for you if you could actually go in there and get a split. Now, I still don't think they're winning tonight. I just think it's, you know, it's been such a great run for them. But, yeah, and I'm glad they're in there. It's going to be fun to watch tonight, but I don't have a good feel for it.
Remember we were talking about which players would be on the bench as far as for the Yankees today?
Yeah.
And we're talking about Brett Gardner and Brian McCann and Jacoby Ellsbury, all the lefties. Well, Ellsbury's the only one sitting. They're going to play Chris Young over Ellsbury and his $153 million contract. lineup for the Yankees tonight, Gardner, Young, Beltran, A-Rod, McCann, another lefty they decided to start tonight, Chase Headley at third, Greg Bird, Rob Refsnyder, who is a rookie, and he's getting the start over Dustin Ackley, and D.D. Gregorius batting ninth, Tanaka on the mound, Astros, Altuve, Springer, Correa, Rasmus, Gattis, Gomez, Valbuena, Carter, Castro.
Somebody was asking.
Gomez earlier, started one of the last 20 games of the season.
Well, and I know he's been fighting that injury, but if he's right, I mean, this is why you traded for him, was to have him for games like this. So I don't really have a problem with him playing. I wish he'd gotten more time before this.
Right.
But you know how these things work, man. It's always some guy that we're not talking about, like Jason Castro, that comes up with a big play. It's never going to be Correa or Altuve. It's going to be one of these other guys if it happens.
And Marwin Gonzalez on the bench.
Well, Marwin batting left-handed recently has been a problem, I guess, because he's got an injury. Right-handed, he's crushing the ball, but left-handed, he hadn't been able to hit. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you get a lefty out there, I guarantee you'll see him, which is too bad because he was swinging the bat as well as anybody before he got hurt.
Arian, it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds they change the wild card to a three-game series in the next few years? I don't think they'll do that. I think that'd actually be a better idea.
I agree.
Because it's so, I mean, one game is just so, I don't know.
It's kind of fun in a way, unless you lose.
Yeah.
But it also kind of flies into the face of everything involving baseball. I mean, you don't even play one game. You never play one game series against a team.
No. But the thing about a three-game series is it would stretch out the playoffs even further, and I feel like baseball is too stretched out as it is already.
You'd have to do it. It'd have to be like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday right after the season.
Yeah.
And you'd have to jump right in after Sunday. The travel would be a nightmare, and then you'd have to go from that right into the next series. It started on a Friday.
No.
I just unless you push those back one more day, but then – I mean, the season's long enough as it is. Now, if you shorten the season, go back to 154 games, I think you could do it. But anyway, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. SportsCenter just tweeted this out. The Astros starting nine tonight made $27,859,980 this season.
How much did A-Rod make?
Jacoby Ellsbury made $21,142,000, and he's on the bench tonight. So...
713-780.
That's crazy.
ESPN. Man, Santos reminds me of something that everybody's been reminding me for the last month, that according to Back to the Future Part 2, the Cubs win the World Series this year. Well,
if Arrieta can pitch every game, that's possible.
Yeah, I like their chances in that case. Let's try Nick. Nick, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports?
Sports to you.
What do you guys think will happen to Arian Foster if he doesn't have a good rest of the season for the Texans?
I think Arian Foster will be playing someone else, or he'll be playing somewhere else next year.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this a lot. His contract at the end of this season is very, very expendable. And if he doesn't just have a monstrous finish to the season, it's not going to make financial sense for the Texans to keep him, especially if they're a bad team.
Yeah. At that point, which it looks like they very well could be. Somebody brought up a pretty good point on the text that you could play if you do best two out of three, you play the first game with the team with the lower record, and then game two is with the team with the better record, and if it goes to a game three, you have a doubleheader. It'd be okay right after that. That actually would work. Although I guess if you have a better record, maybe you want the first game at home, but
no. You got to win two either way.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
They used to do that like 1-3-1.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, but that would actually work.
Yeah.
Good idea. See what happens when you scroll through all the idiots and just get to the good ones?
I don't have time for that, Fred.
Yeah, so let me tell you, Jamarcus Russell, talking about the LSU quarterbacks, Jamarcus Russell was pretty good in college. Yeah, he was, and he wound up going number one overall. But
Matt Flynn was pretty good in college.
Matt Flynn was the way LSU always wins, great defense and run the ball for the most part, and then have your quarterback not screw up. And I guess, Mettenberger was okay, but he wasn't special. And what did he go, sixth round?
And then what's the Matt Mock? They won the title, right? Matt Mock, who's like a dentist now.
Rohan Davey. Remember Rohan Davey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I stick by what I said. What the heck is that? Pieces are falling off everything here. Anyway. All right. Well, there you go. Got Jerome Solomon today. We usually do our college rankings here. We'll do them at 6 o'clock today.
Jerome's up in New York, huh?
Apparently so.
Yeah, he said by the time we get him on, the Astros are going to be taking batting practice.
All right. But we are going to get him on today?
Yeah.
So he's going to report on batting practice?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear about this.
I just want to know if Keuchel really shaved his beard. Because I just glimpsed up for a second and they were showing the bullpen and he didn't have a beard.
That you sure that was Keuchel? You sure that
was? He was warming up in the bullpen, or somebody from the Astros was a lefty was warming up in the bullpen. I hope to God it wasn't him.
Yeah, well, that would be a bad time wouldn't that be all over Twitter though?
Yeah, I was looking for it. I couldn't find anything.
I feel like you would know if it was Tony Sipp.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. I mean, Oliver Perez. I think that's the only lefties they've got.
Yeah. Perez, the only other one.
Oliver Perez sometimes has a beard, but it's always like a pencil line. Like it looks like it's drawn on with mascara.
Sure. Wasn't Marwin out there pretending to pitch?
No, he was in the bullpen, not on the field.
Okay.
Texter says, Fred needs some help here. Where do we sit with Julie Morales? I know not cheetah caliber, but I can't decide where on the spectrum she lands. She's one of those. It's not one where you go, wow, but I would say solid.
Okay.
You know, kind of a little sneaky hot.
Okay.
I think that's where I'd go with
that.
What
do you think of her when she was like all doused with beer?
And people were dropping F-bombs and Root Sports had to apologize?
Yeah.
I like the wet look.
Okay.
It works. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and it is a local music Tuesday, so everything you're hearing is local. And, John, you're tweeting out all the songs and artists, right?
Yeah, I'm about to send out the 4 o'clock.
Okay. All right, so here's your quarterbacks at LSU since 2000. Josh Booty, best known because Gary Kubiak was trying to get a fill for him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the other Booty. That was USC Booty.
So John David.
John David Booty. So it wasn't even Josh Booty. Rohan Davey. Marcus Randall.
Okay.
Matty Mock. Marcus Randall again. Jamarcus Russell. Matt Flynn. Jared Lee. Oh, boy. I'm stopping there.
What's crazy is they've consistently been one of the best football programs in the country, despite what they've got at quarterback.
Yeah, it's just it's one of those things. It's kind of like Alabama, for the most part, doesn't really need a great quarterback. They're better when they have one. But
LSU doesn't even need one. I mean, they're winning championships with Matt Mock. I mean, I'll tell you something.
I'd be curious when their last All-American quarterback was. I'm sure LSU fan can tell me that. Let's try a phone call. Degenerate Sean, you're on the Blitz. Go.
That's All-American.
Hey, sports.
They just need Seattle to be 2-2. They were going to go 1-3.
Okay.
I thought. Un-American.
What was un-American?
What's going on, Fred AJ? Degenerate Gambler Sean. Let me tell you, that call last night was un-American.
All right.
How Seattle? I mean, I guess Seattle just can't go 1-3, right? I mean, is that the name of the game there? Because that was just a complete blown call.
Let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
At the exact second that it happened, did you say that? Or did someone on Twitter have to let you know that that was against the rules?
What was against the rule?
The call that they missed. Like, when it happened, did you say, hey, you're not allowed to do that?
When it happened on my side, I was like, can't bat it out of the end zone. I mean, you can't bat it out of the end zone as a defensive player.
Well, you can't bat it out of the end zone as an offensive player either. But
no, unless you want a safety.
But I think it's funny that no one, you know, even the announcers didn't say anything. Like, this is a – listen, the referees are supposed to know the rules, and I'm not defending them by any means. But the refs miss calls all throughout the game. I mean, this happens constantly throughout the game. This one just happened to be at the end of the game.
Yeah, but you can't really excuse it either. I mean, those guys should know the rules, even if you don't.
You're right.
And
I just think it's funny that everyone's pounding the table now once they found out it was illegal.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's...
Now, what I will say is I knew it was illegal. I didn't know what the penalty was. I didn't know that it was an automatic first down.
Yeah, I didn't know what the penalty was either. I didn't know if it was... when the defensive guy does it. I know I've seen it before, but I couldn't remember what the penalty was.
Because when I saw it, when he did it, I assumed a flag would come out, and I assumed that it would be like a 15-yard unsportsmanlike or something like that from the half the distance,
yeah.
I was thinking. But, I had no idea that it was supposed to be an automatic first down at the one. So I think that, you know, clearly I didn't know the entirety of the rule. The announcers didn't know the entirety of the rule, but maybe the referees didn't. Now, that said, that's their job. They should. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you know, the NFL came down on those guys, and the refs are graded, and that's probably not a good look for that guy. But
John says, do you know what is American? Calling in ways to do a radio show at 5:20 p.m.
That's American.
That is as American as it gets,
USA.
Man.
USA.
Daniel says, Tommy Hodson was the last... All-American quarterback at LSU, which would have been 1967, I believe.
I was going to say.
No, that wasn't that long ago. It was, he was born in 67. When did he play there? Only 48, so that wouldn't have been that long ago.
48's pretty 86. Old.
86 would have been when he was.
Okay.
I don't remember much about the...
I remember it like it was kindergarten.
Looking at this All-American list. He's not even coming up.
Uh-oh.
The only person that I see is Burt Jones, 1973.
Oof. Burt Jones, I remember because I used to play for the Colts.
Okay. Back at the Baltimore Colts?
That's when they were the Baltimore Colts. So I was a kid, all right?
You remember the Baltimore Colts.
As a kid, yes. Get out of here.
Hey, did you see what's going on with Victor Cruz?
I did not see.
Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz is getting married, apparently. His fiance, Elena.
Don't do it.
Well, this may be more reason not to do it. His fiance sent a group text to him and all of his side chicks. It says, hello, ladies. This is Elena, Victor Cruz's fiance. You all know about me, and I seem to be the topic of conversation in all of your conversations with Vic. I'm sure he's told you many of things about us and how we don't exist, but given the fact that you all meet him in hotel rooms only, we all know that's a lie, just as he tells me you all are whores and mean nothing to him. I figure since you all know about me, then I should introduce each one of you to each other so we can all know who we've all been bleeping for the past several months. So ladies, meet one another and feel free to exchange notes. Victor Cruz's fiance has terrible, written grammar. Is that whatever. She has a
spelling.
She has a poor grasp of the English language, the written form of the English language. But it is kind of nicer for her to introduce all the side chicks to each other.
Yeah.
And unless she has Victor's baby, which I don't know if she does, this is a bad move. You wait till the ring is all the way on.
Yeah.
You wait till there's paperwork.
Because, boy, you did that to me.
I'd be like, eh, this isn't going to work out, nope. Elena.
See ya. More crazy, her or Brent Grimes' wife?
Oof. That's tough. But I will give her this credit, though. Doesn't it seem like she's handling it pretty well?
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to marry an athlete. What do you expect?
Yeah.
You know that's part of the deal when you get into that.
That they're going to have side pieces?
Yes. I mean, that's in fact, that's in their contract. When you sign the marriage contract with most athletes, then you're accepting the fact there's going to be at least 200 side pieces. So you're not supposed to be
200?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you're a star.
Okay.
Star players up to 200, I would say practice squad guys get one. And if you're a special teams guy, you get two.
Okay.
That's official. That's in the NFL rule book.
Practice squad guys, that's a Ryan Tannehill rule. Enjoy your one side piece, bro. Hope that interception's really cool. Enjoy your one side piece and your practice squad paycheck.
So how many were on the list?
It doesn't say exactly. It doesn't give an exact number.
All right, John, did you steer the people wrong on this Keuchel beard thing?
I don't know. I thought it was him. Maybe I was mistaken. Because they were showing Tanaka.
You're just making stuff up.
No. They showed the Astros bullpen, and then they showed the Yankees bullpen with Tanaka warming up.
All right. Mm. How do you know it was Tanaka?
Because he was Asian.
And you think all Asians look alike.
Yeah, pretty much.
I should have known.
Yeah, somebody points out that, well, a lot of the good quarterbacks won't go to LSU because they know they won't throw the ball. But they've recruited guys that were very highly thought of. They just haven't really panned out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, some of the guys I recruited weren't really quarterbacks, and they tried to like make them quarterbacks. But you know, the thing is, they win.
Yeah,
and that's a program I admire. So I'm not too concerned about it. 713-780-ESPN 713-780-3776. When we come back, hopefully we'll have our good buddy Jerome Solomon.
And first, I'm going to tell you about my good friend Gary Trichter. And if you found yourself on the wrong side of the law, accused of DUI, listen, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to just accept that they're saying you're drunk, even if you weren't. It's not the way it works. You've got a right to a defense, and attorney Gary Trichter is about the best in the business when it comes to defending DUI cases. A lot of attorneys will take them. Not many are experienced in taking them to trial. And if your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, there's still hope, even if you failed one of those tests. There's a lot of faulty science involved with those tests. Breath tests, they're inaccurate, they're unreliable. Blood tests aren't even testing your blood. They're just testing the air above it. These are very indirect, very circumstantial tests for alcohol, and it's hard to prove that that science works when it goes in front of a court. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about police blood tests and the science involved with them. He's also one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. So if you failed one of these tests, the breath test or blood test, whether it's DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5.
The King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And that usually means Jerome Solomon. There we go. There's the check mark. And so let's go to him now. And first off, Jerome Solomon, of course, Houston Chronicle columnist. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon in New York for Astros and Yankees. Solve this for us. John thought he saw Dallas Keuchel with his beard cut. He's got people panicking.
Well,
two things. One, his name is Dallas Keuchel, not Samson. So I don't think the beard is what makes him a good pitcher. But, no, as far as I know, Dallas has not cut his beard. I haven't seen him in the last couple of hours, but I saw him yesterday. He had a full beard, was good to go, and wasn't talking about cutting. So.
All right, so what do you expect to see tonight? Obviously, 3 days rest is a big question with Keuchel, but he's had some success against the Yankees in the past.
Yeah, he had a lot of success against them. I mean, they're the only team he pitched against this season that did not score a run against them. I mean, he had his way with them this year. That he is a huge, huge guy in terms of the process and his routine. And this is certainly a change in his routine by opening the day. A.J. Hinch said, you know, he thinks the extra adrenaline from it being a playoff game and all of that will help him out. And Keuchel wasn't so sure about that, but we'll see. I mean, obviously he's not at his best in terms of how he would like to go into it, but he's so good and been so good at what he does. I expect him to have at least a decent outing tonight, if not be really good.
How's the media in New York looking at this one? Is this obviously, I know that's part of the fun is usually when you go to New York, you get to, you know, there's so many newspapers and so much radio that it's are they treating this like same old Yankees are just going to roll, or are they actually nervous about this one?
Well, no, they got flipped because of the CeCe Sabathia thing, so that tossed them out and about a little bit, and that's been the big story in town because, you know, one of your team leaders decides he needs to go into alcohol rehab right on the eve of the playoffs. So that's dominated the conversation. That's just every interview I've been around with the players and even with the manager, that's half of the questions are about CeCe Sabathia. And, of course, A-Rod, you know, took the cake when he said that the Yankees were the underdog in the game against the Astros. So the Astros are getting a lot more respect than a team from Houston in this situation normally would get. People think it's really a coin flip and they just don't know, especially because Keuchel has done damage against them. And the last time the Astros saw Tanaka, they lit him up. So the media here is not having that general smug New York attitude about, you know, these upstarts are going to get smoked. They really expect the Yankees to be in for a real battle.
Well, a couple things. I don't know why anybody's surprised Sabathia is in rehab. That dude's been pitching drunk since 2013, obviously. And A-Rod's right. The Yankees are the underdog in this game. Now, do you feel that's warranted based on what you've seen out of these two teams over the course of the season? Do you feel like, especially considering the Astros are on the road?
Dude, one game, I don't consider anybody an underdog unless you got, like, you know, Kershaw, somebody on the mound. I mean, I know you guys, you don't bet baseball, so favorites and underdogs are ridiculous for one game. If it was a series, that'd be a little bit different. But yeah, it's on the road. You got a pitcher who is going out, you know, on not on his normal day's rest. You got the oldest team in the playoffs in the Yankees and the youngest team in the playoffs in the Astros. No, the Yankees are not the underdogs. This place is going to be rocking with, you know, a full house. It'll be loud. It's the only game in town. The Astros have never been up against this. It'll be fun to see how they respond. I do expect them to respond well, but, yeah, I don't get too much into that underdog talk in baseball because Tanaka could show up here and pitch a two-hitter, and we go, what's so much for that underdog thing, you know?
Dude, I have to ask, are you busting a grumpy while you're talking to us? Because your phone, it sounds like you're in a bathroom.
No, I'm standing here at right behind home plate at Yankee Stadium. What do you expect, dude? I'm trying to do you a favor.
How's
I'm in the Bronx. You know, I don't get good service. I'm staying in Harlem. I get even worse service there, but you know how that is.
How's Carlos Gomez looked? And I don't know if you've seen him at batting practice yet, but I mean he's missed damn near all of the last 20 games. What do you expect him to be at 100% tonight, or how close to it do you expect him?
Yeah,
to be?
He says he's 100%. He's good to go, but it's one of those 100% where, you know, he could hurt himself with a hard swing or a hard throw at any point in time. So, but he's jumping up and down. He looks good at batting practice. He looks like he's ready to go. So, we'll see if he doesn't re-injure himself, which would be far more important probably for the if they win. What'll happen with the Kansas City series versus, you know, what happens tonight with Thomas?
Marwin Gonzalez not in the lineup tonight. And I know he's been having problems batting left-handed. Is that part of the reason?
You broke up on me. You said Lowry?
No. It's Marwin Gonzalez. Is he not in the lineup because he's been struggling to bat left-handed because of the injury?
Yeah, AJ Hinch didn't get into too specifics on why he wanted to go the way he's going with the lineup. It's just he wanted guys who Marvin isn't a great low-ball hitter, and Tanaka's going to keep it low if he's on his game. And that I'm sure played a big part.
Has he talked at all about moving forward, if they do get by this game, what his rotation's going to look like? Obviously, I guess McHugh would be the guy on Thursday. And has he looked beyond that, or is it just focusing on tonight?
Yeah, I mean, they're focusing on tonight. They have McHugh is definitely going to be the guy Thursday. I think they've even announced it, but I'm like them. I'm focused on today, too. But, yeah, McHugh will go Thursday, and I assume, you wouldn't see Keiko again until the game gets back, until the series gets back to Houston. So that's going to be an interesting part of another deal where you got a guy again having to go on a short rest if you do it that way. But yeah, I assume it's McHugh, McCullers, and then I don't know what they'll do for Game 3.
I feel we would be missing out if we didn't ask you what you thought of the Texans game on Sunday and everything that's come from that.
It was very entertaining, I must say. It was pure comedy. I haven't seen a team so ill-prepared to play in quite a while. And that'd be one thing if they collapsed, after some bad things happened or, they had some unfortunate bounces of the ball. And they did have a little bit of that, but it was almost self-inflicted with that. But they were not ready to play. And this has been a problem throughout the season. They've been getting out schemed early in the ball game, and you can see it that the other teams know how to beat them, and that does not speak well for your coaching staff, let alone your players and the talent level. But you're getting out coached and outplayed in the first half of every game. It's embarrassing.
So what would you do a quarterback now? This obviously they say they're sticking with Mallett. I'm sure that will last about a quarter if he plays like he did Sunday. And does it matter with either one of these guys at this stage?
It probably really doesn't matter. It just seems like Bill O'Brien is doing his best to do the opposite of what any intelligent person, good football coach would do. And now he's kind of, I think the only reason he's sticking with Mallett is he would feel like he looked like too much of a buffoon to go to Hoyer all of a sudden. You know what I mean? And that's, if you're making decisions because of that, that's not the best way to handle a situation at all. I don't think it matters. I really don't. And they didn't lose Sunday because Mallett didn't play well. And Hoyer, go down the list of those guys, stop the tape and write the numbers down of the guys that were on the field when he was going up and down the field in the fourth quarter. That was not the Falcons starters on the field at all. So I was hardly impressed by that.
No, and we talked about that yesterday. But speaking of looking like a buffoon, what the hell are you doing with Cecil Shorts out there and those guys, especially when you've already lost Nate Washington, trying to score a meaningless touchdown? You get the guy hurt. Now he's going to be out for a couple weeks. You had J.J. Watt out there on offense when the game is over. What the hell is that?
He's trying to send a message to the team when his message should have been, let's get the hell out of here and get home, and I'll send my message to you during the week. Or I'll, get past Thursday with the Colts game. And don't give them that weekend off like everybody else does. Then start sending the message then. But this is just bad coaching. He's making rash decisions in the heat of the moment because I guess he was pissed off at the way they played. And I don't blame him for being pissed off, but I do blame him for responding petulantly like that, because all you're going to do is hurt your team down the road. And eventually, and I'm not saying they're anywhere near that now, eventually you will lose the respect of your players. And once the coach loses that, then he's Joe Philbin.
And now 10-10 as a head coach with the Houston Texans. So
very Kubiak-ish.
Yes. Gone full Kubiak. You never do
and,
that.
And yeah, he's 10-10, and those wins, a bunch of those wins have come against some really, really awful football teams. Think of that, out of those 10, and I'm you just mentioned, I didn't even think about it, but I would bet seven of them are rookie quarterbacks and bad teams that weren't going to win four games. And
That doesn't speak too well of you as a coach.
Well, we know four of them were against the Titans and Jags, and one has been against the Bucks, who were starting a rookie quarterback. I'll have to go look at the rest of them. And one of them was at Cleveland, which was starting Brian Hoyer, which might as well be a rookie quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's these are not impressive victories.
Buffalo before they bitched DJ Manuel.
One was the Raiders.
Raiders. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. And one was the Redskins.
All right. Wonderful quarterback situation there. All right, Jerome, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Enjoy the game, man, and we're going to let you go because your phone is obviously struggling there a little bit, but we appreciate you coming on, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Catch you guys later.
Enjoy New York. I know you will.
I got it in front of me. You guys named a lot of them. Redskins, Raiders, Bills, Titans twice, Browns, Jags twice, and then the Ravens.
Oh, forgot the Ravens. That's the best one of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that was the game that Joe Flacco didn't look like Joe Flacco. And then they had the one win against the Chiefs. Not the Chiefs.
Joe Flacco didn't look like a really tall Muppet?
No. Like everything he was throwing in that game.
Oh, you mean the way he played.
Well, yeah. And but you know what? You know why he looked that bad? Because the defense was getting after him and forcing turnovers. When are they going to do that again? I almost think you could win with AJ at quarterback if the defense was playing like it did in that game.
My shoulder's rough, but.
Well, you just hand off to Arian.
Yeah.
And then push Derek Newton out of the way so he doesn't knock the ball out of his hands. You could handle that. It's right up your alley, man. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It is a local music Tuesday, so all the music you're hearing is produced right here in Houston. Well, I guess we got a couple Beaumont ones. But if you like what you hear, Jong has the list. You can just tweet at him. He'll tell you who they are. He's going to tweet them out, too, from the Degenerates 975 account. So you'll know everybody you heard today. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
So I thank you. I never had the courage to sign my name. Then kiss my mother and board that plane.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Step back out of my way, head first into the maze. I won't be broken. Never.
Rams, Packers, NFL, 12 p.m. Sunday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. We're having lunch out on Fridays. Each Friday, John and Raheel and Unfiltered will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Kick your weekend off right with ESPN 97.5. Love Nick's Place. Somebody asked, how did they end up scheduling both UH and the Texans on the same Thursday night, both at home? UH, that's a TV thing for them, and obviously a TV thing for the Texans. It just happened to work out that way. I'm probably just going to stay home so I can watch both of them.
Yeah.
It's probably the easiest thing to do, so I can just put the old split screen up. And somebody asked, a good place to eat and watch the game tonight in downtown. I'm guessing every place is going to be pretty packed. And obviously, I don't like going to places when there's hundreds of people. But if you're in Midtown, Coaches or Bar Munich work really well. And downtown, I like that Bovine and Barley for food especially. And they have the games on. And they've also got, it's kind of cool, they'll have the game on their wall.
Yeah.
In addition. So, and they got a great beer selection there.
It's not technically downtown, but over there on Montrose, Hay Merchant.
They always do good food.
And they do half off local beers when the home team or the Houston team is winning.
Yeah.
So
which is very cool.
If you think the Astros are going to do well, you can go drink for cheap.
So it's a little bit of an Uber probably from downtown. But if you're downtown, I think any one of those.
But their food is so good.
Their food is good.
Get that pig head.
That pig head's pretty good.
Pig head is the best.
If you go Bovine and Barley, man, the chopped beef is terrific. And they have an appetizer that's just meatballs and sort of potatoes that I it's just amazing. So anyway, there's some options for you.
There you go.
And all the stuff's pretty good at Coaches, too. So, I guess Bar Munich, maybe the – I don't remember what I got there that I liked. I was pretty drunk, but the food was good. So, you just have to figure that out for yourself. All right. You know what? Let's do this giveaway because it's a pretty good one. Is this the only one we have today, John?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to do this in the 5 o'clock hour. course, this doesn't work for me because I'm still Xbox 360. But when NBA 2K16 for Xbox One finally in
no PlayStation.
We're giving away one for Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're supposed to give them a sound check on this, so
I'll be quiet.
All right, Jed. Okay, so we're going to start over.
It's bull. Bull honk.
Well, it is available in PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC. So, okay, Jong, I think you need to get one for PS4 for AJ and Xbox 360 for me.
Or you just need to step your video game life up.
You know what? Xbox 360 does everything I could possibly want.
That's not true.
Yeah, it does. I use it for... Yeah, you know, all those apps on TV, so I can watch ESPN3 on it. I just bought a couple of new games that are just as good as they would be on.
They're not just as good.
They are to me.
That's like saying a VHS is just as good as
a Blu-ray player. Get out of here with that. You're one of those suckers that has to buy a new one every time it comes out.
You're a sucker that stayed with your iPhone 3 till it was 20 years
until, old. Until I didn't need it anymore, and then I updated. All right, here we go. You'll win NBA 2K16, Xbox One. Finally, NBA 2K16 is out. This is the best NBA video game of all time, featuring an all-new career mode written and directed by cinema legend Spike Lee. With over 5,000 new animations and updates, it's the most fluid gameplay in franchise history. The best sports video game every year, it's NBA 2K16. NBA 2K16 is rated everyone 10 and up, available in PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC. Get yours now. Caller number 22. There you go. All right, now you can talk. Sorry.
No, I'm good.
Somebody says 360 doesn't play Blu-ray. I don't really watch anything on Blu-ray.
Really?
It kind of... And I have a Blu-ray player in the bedroom, so if I want to watch it on Blu-ray, I can do that.
Okay.
Anyway. Michael tweeted out a picture of the pig head.
Oh.
That's it's a lot of pig.
It's too good. Too good.
All right, let's do the Zadar Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
AJ, I know you know a lot of MMA. I think most people would call you an expert. Are you familiar with Travis Wolford?
I am now.
Well, great nickname, the Brown Bomber.
Yeah. The downside for me is every time something like this happens in MMA, like this, for example, or the time when there was the team MMA fight.
Yeah.
Everyone feels the need to link me to that as if I somehow.
Yeah, you missed it.
Yeah. In all of the reading and things I do on MMA and watching, that somehow I missed that.
Well, if it makes you feel better, the same thing happened to a soccer guy in the World Cup in 1990. So
a soccer guy crapped his pants?
Yes.
Oh, that doesn't make me feel any better about my plight. I mean, this is...
It's always about you, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, apparently he tapped out, he was beaten into submission by Daniel Cooper. Were you familiar with him either?
No.
Okay. And
this is like...
This has got to be like one of
those... This is some junk-ass MMA, and I can tell because this is an MMA fight where they're wearing shin guards. So I don't know if it was sanctioned or it's more of a sparring match or what.
Well, it's ruckusinthecage.com.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard of that. Okay. That's a made-up organization.
Well, and this guy looks like he's completely out of shape. One of these guys. Well, both of them really are completely out of shape. Well, anyway, after he tapped out, he realized that he'd had an accident of the brown variety.
That's not good.
And,
You should always empty before you get out there.
And as he tries to get up, it continues. And, the referee decided to walk away.
Well, what's he gonna do?
You don't want to get involved in that. You get as far away from that mess as possible. So anyhow, he's now the Brown Bomber, and there is a video of it. If you really feel the need to see that, I didn't.
It's pretty vile.
I mean,
you don't. It's not something you're gonna be happy you watched.
Oh my god! I'm gonna throw up.
Where is this? South Carolina or something?
Yeah,
like that? Oh my god. I'm about to throw up everywhere, y'all.
That's just awful. All right. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. Now, everybody's telling me all the stuff that Xbox One. That's great. I'm not going to buy one. You're not going to sell me on it. I'll get one at some point. I'm very happy with what I have.
You'll get one when the next
one comes out. Yeah, I'll probably just skip this one, and or when they get games that you know that I can't get on mine that I want, then I might buy a new one. But I'm spending my money on drones and stuff right now, and beer, and FanDuel,
and HBO.
And HBO, always.
That's right.
But and FanDuel. Hey, have you watched The Leftovers yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
I've got to record it.
I do too.
Yeah, it's just I hear the first. It's like last year. The first 10 minutes make absolutely no sense, and then it sort of comes together at the end.
I hope so.
But we shall see.
I kind of that show is so strange. It was so strange last year that I want to get a couple together.
Yeah.
Like I want to be able to run like three together before I watch it.
Well, I'm probably gonna watch it tomorrow. So, all right, guys. Guess what? Maybe you used that Seattle defense in FanDuel last night. If you did, you probably came out pretty well. Maybe you used the Falcons this weekend. I know you came out well if you did that. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football. If you didn't have those teams, guess what? You start over again next week with a whole new team. The money's real. They're expecting to pay out $2 billion this year. Building a team's easy. You just pick your players, stand to the salary cap, sit back on Sunday, watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1 and anyone can play. It can really pay off. I'll tell you what, the great thing about it is you can play for a dollar, you can play for a whole bunch of money if you want. And I know a lot of you guys are very good at this, and maybe you'll be like Ben from Illinois who turned $5 into $10,000 during week three. That could be you. Or you know what? You might just be a blitzer who wants to turn his $5 into $200 by winning our weekly Blitz FanDuel thing. And basically, this tournament has been full for the all season. We upped it to 300 people the last 2 weeks. It's filled up. So if you want to get in, please sign up early because by Friday, those spots are gone. $5, you get to beat the blitzers. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Faur. FanDuel.com/F-A-O-U-R. Sign up now. And if you're not on FanDuel, well, you need to get on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code Faur, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code Faur today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. And maybe you will be like Bobby D. Gulf Coast, who won our tournament last week and took home $200 with 144.32 points. That can be you for just $5. If you're already signed up, again, it's FanDuel.com/Faur. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Fred Faur from the Blitz.